Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everyone. It is Thursday. It is live and it is Transfer Insight with myself, Paul Machin, and Neil Jones of Goal.com. Neil, as we've seen in the comments, mouthpiece for the club, Jones, which is just,
I've been called worse. I'm sure it'll happen again in the future.
I've been called the same and worse, so it's absolutely fine. We're going to have a bit of a discussion, a bit more of a free-for-all this week, really, because we're in a position where there's no massive concrete rumours coming from anywhere. You know, we spoke about Jeremy Doku last week. That's another one where there's lots of... The only thing that's coming from that, I think, is like... It's the same journalist, same Belgian journalist who just keeps basically repeating the fact that Liverpool have clearly had a look at him.
Yeah.
But there's nothing...
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of that, isn't there? That I think Liverpool's name does get used quite a lot in transfer stories. And you look at the guy from Bournemouth, Dan Juma, who we spoke about in a previous show, and he's going to Villarreal. I'm pretty sure Liverpool did sort of have a look and see what he's about. If they weren't doing the jobs... But I think at this time of year you get a lot of those type of they're described a lot in publications as Liverpool target or Manchester United target or Arsenal target, whatever it may be, and they're not really necessarily targets, they're more just players who, you know, have been looked at in vague terms.
There's a great barometer, and I find if you think, oh, we're linked with this player, go and type their name in and then Manchester United afterwards and see how many articles come up with it. And more often than not, everyone that Liverpool are tentatively linked with, not who aren't really linked by the main people, the main Northwest journos, it tends to be that they're also linked with United.
Do you know what? I'll for full transparency, I have a problem with sometimes with Goal for this kind of thing where we do a series called Next Gen and we look at under 20 players. In world football, men and women, but with the men's side of it or the boys' side of it, you want to call it, so many of them end up with sort of Liverpool linked Atalanta youngster or Aston Villa youngster in one case I can think of, and Manchester United always in there. And you know, so I often get asked about it. Oh, didn't know we were linked with this guy, and you think, well, we actually weren't. You know, as far as I'm aware, but it's sort of it is a little bit of an industry tool that it gets put in there, and you look at URLs an awful lot and keywords in URLs, and you often get Liverpool, Manchester United transfer news in the URL, which it's a sad, you know, indictment, but it's it sometimes feeds into this cycle of rumours. But yeah, I mean, Doku is one that I think is an interesting player, and I think would be someone who I think would make sense in a Liverpool transfer rumour world, but as far as I'm aware, not this summer.
Yeah. There's a few that actually have happened in terms of outs, which we'll come to in a second, but if you've got any questions, then let us know them in the live comments.
As long as you're polite.
You're being funny, but it's a general point. Be polite, because you won't be commenting on this channel again if you're not polite. Simple as that, really. I want to talk about... Let's start with Ben Woodburn. Hearts?
Yeah, well, possibly, yeah. I mean... Probably, Hart's definitely in amongst all that. Few options for him. It's a strange one, Ben Woodburn. I mean, I'll run through the options of Hart's are, I think, at the head of the queue. Mm-hmm. I think would probably be the easiest one logistically with being, you know, in the UK. Decent level, obviously. Decent sort of exposure in this country, which I think is where Ben obviously sees his future, being in England in the future. But options in Denmark, AGF, who had Kamal Grabara last year on loan. They've got Stig Inge Bjørneby, the former Liverpool left-back. He's involved there, so there's a bit of a relationship there. Croatia, I think there's been some options as well. Maybe even Holland. He's been linked in the past to move to, I think it was Excelsior Rotterdam last summer. So there's options across Europe. They're not, none of them are sort of what you'd say like prime or brilliant options for, you know, to us, yeah. but to him, potentially a chance to go and play football, and that's what he needs. I mean, he's had a couple of bad decisions and a couple of bits of bad luck, certainly. Yeah. I think going to Sheffield United was a bad move, and I think it's reflected upon.
It's interesting because it's a good move under normal circumstances, but I think that's the season they come up, isn't it?
And it is, so yeah.
They have a very tight nucleus in that side.
Yeah, it's a very specific way of playing with the centre-backs. Obviously, Chris Wilder, we saw him when he was in the Premier League, basically rotates his forwards an awful lot. And, you know, you look at, I don't know, God knows how many forwards he had, but McGoldrick, McBurney, Sharp, Brewster, what's the guy called, Moussa. They were trying to find solutions, whereas the rest of the team pretty much stayed the same with the midfield and the defence, and Woodburn was falling into that midfield category. Mark Duffy was the guy who pretty much kept him out that whole season. Guy who was released by Liverpool when he was younger, which certain irony to that when you've got this Liverpool youngster trying to break through. But yeah, it didn't really work out, and I think Liverpool reflect on that and think, well, got that one wrong. Yeah. Maybe overestimated how easy it would be for Woodburn to go into the Championship. Oxford looked like it was going to be a good one. He really settled in, breaks his foot, comes back, breaks his foot again when he's just about to go back to Oxford around Christmas time. And that kills him, really. You know, he ends up coming back for the playoffs. And then last season, Blackpool looked a perfect loan on paper with Neil Critch, and you think, okay, yeah, that's a great opportunity for him, quite near to, you know, in terms of travel and all those kind of things, shouldn't be too great a settling in period. And he gets COVID and then really couldn't find his way back. So he's had some bad luck there. It would be nice if he got some good luck. I don't think he's going to have a future at Liverpool, and Liverpool, I think, are pretty much resigned to that fact. He's in his last year of his contract, so the fact that they're willing to loan him tells you sort of what they think of him. But it'd be nice for him to go and play some games till January, get some, you know, minutes and some experience and some form under his belt, and then go and have his career somewhere else.
Yeah, no, he's a tidy enough player, isn't he? We had this debate on the Reds transfer round, I'm sure, on Wednesday, is that I don't know his place. You know, he started off as a sort of forward. He was a bit of a 10, bit from the left. We've seen him used in midfield. There was that point a couple of pre-seasons ago where we were using him in midfield, and there was a very fluid sort of midfield three in pre-season where there was times when he'd be in the six, the times when he'd be in the eight, and so on. But he's not tall. He's not fast.
Yeah.
He's not brilliantly skillful. He's just a good footballer. He's just a good, neat and tidy footballer.
It's really tough, isn't it? I mean, I think, I don't know if I spoke about this on this show, actually, but I think when he came through, he had that. He scored a couple of goals, and I think that maybe changed people's opinions on him a little bit. And I mean, I remember seeing him compared to Michael Owen at one stage. He went through and scored one at Wigan, but he was never that because he didn't have the pace, and he's not known as a prolific goal scorer at youth level. And I spoke to someone at Liverpool around the first team, and he said they thought he was a bit Aaron Ramsey. You know, he's sort of a bit of a, he glides a little bit across the pitch. He's not particularly quick. He's not particularly sort of physically imposing, but he's a nice footballer, and if he gets space, he can find it. And I've seen a little bit of that with him. So I think when you saw that performance, Osasuna in the friendly, there was an element of that playing in a midfield three. But yeah, you're right. It's tough because What are teams in the Championship, for example, looking for? They're probably looking for someone who can be a game changer, i.e. goals and assists, like a Harry Wilson or someone like that. And he's not that. They're looking for someone who can be, you know, really firm up your midfield. He's not really that. He's someone who, if your team's playing well and you're doing, you know, you've got a nice settled lineup and you need a little sprinkling of quality extra there, he can do that. But if you're not, there's not many teams in the Championship that are in that position.
Yeah.
Sheffield United were probably one of those that, when he signed, they thought that's what he could do, and actually they managed to get there without needing that. They got there through a bit more solidity.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I just want to quickly pop over to the comments, the Red Sea podcast, which is a brilliant new YouTube channel. They've been going for a while, but they've got their own YouTube channel now, so do check it out. They're saying, afternoon, guys. Neil, what are the chances we sign no one else? 90%?
Sorry, I thought that was a player. I was like, I'm not seeing that rumour, no one else.
Yeah, because Neil is...
I think there's a fair chance to decide no one else. I personally think there'll still be something that Liverpool will do. Just a bit of an educated hunch. But there's a chance. I mean, you saw Klopp's press conference last week, and I'm sure that sent a lot of people into a tailspin when he James Pearce, obviously a colleague, who asked him about midfielders, and he said, come on then, give me some names, tell me who you'd sign. And the quotes went down. I think there was a sort of split, really. Some people said, well, perfectly good logic. Some people said, oh, you know, just absolutely typical.
It's all
of shielding
in how you read the word, because that thing of like, we don't need more, we don't want to sign more players. Yeah. And it's and how you read that word.
Yeah.
It was like, we want to sign more players.
Yeah,
we don't
want
to sign any more
players.
I think
that's how he said it.
Yeah.
We don't want to sign. We don't need numbers, I think was what he was saying. We're not short of numbers. We might be able, I think he said that repeatedly, you know, if something happens somewhere else, then we might be able to do something. I think that was the way he put it, which makes sense. You know, look, if Shaqiri and Origi are going, or someone comes in and puts 40 million down for Minamino, then okay, yeah, that's where the option is. And I think the other thing is probably to read into the fact that I think people assume that means it's money.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not. It's just about, well, you know, Klopp's saying, I don't really want to get to the stage come August the 30th when I've got to get rid of four players because we've signed a couple and we thought we were going to get rid of Shaqiri to whoever and we don't.
Well, look what happened. I think a good example of this is look at Arsenal. I keep coming back to Arsenal. I've just done a video of this on Mate TV.
Great for transfer
channel.
Shows, Arsenal, for what not to do.
Absolutely brilliant, yeah. But you look at Mustafi in January.
Yeah, yeah.
They've literally just got to get rid. They just got to sack it off. And that's what Liverpool, I imagine, is don't want to be in a situation where August 31st rolls around and these lads, because you can't, this is one point that came to me, because I had a look at this and like Shaqiri's on, for one website of ours, like I said, 3.8 million a year. He's on, like, say, 80 grand a week. To cancel his contract, which has got 2 years, I think, left.
Yeah.
You're basically paying off his contract,
yeah.
Which is going to cost you. You know, you've got to find a taker. But if you don't have a taker, then he's either going to cost you 3.8 million for the year to sit, or half that till January till you can get rid, or you're having to pay the contract off, which is insane.
you're having to let a player go on loan and potentially run down more of his value that you were already trying to.
But you're still going to take it for that as well.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. It's not ideal. But to go back to the question, I think there's a chance Liverpool sign nobody, and I know that wouldn't go down particularly well, but I still think there's a fair chance that they look to do something before the end of the month. And also, you've got to factor in, things can happen before the end of the month in terms of, you know, you look at certain moves, Tottenham with Kane and other moves that can just trigger a domino effect. I mean, we've already seen Ben White leave Brighton, for example, but you've seen Vestergaard, Southampton seems to be having some sort of clearance at the moment, players leaving, Villa have obviously got money to spend. Yeah. There are a lot of things to still happen between now and, what is it, the 19th, I think, today. Mm-hmm. We've still got nearly 2 weeks. I think there'll be movement all across the Premier League between now and then, so it can be quite quick reacting.
Yeah, the Shaqiri stuff, I mean, we'll talk about Clarkson, he's got on loan in a second, but while we're on it, like, because I think the Shaqiri is the linchpin, because you're right to your point, there's a money issue, potentially. Like, I don't know that if one of Liverpool's top targets became available, but they're available at 100 million. I don't know whether Liverpool could afford that.
Yeah.
But the problem is that at the minute, we don't know because they're not moving for anyone because there's no space in the squad, and Shaqiri might prove. I don't think the 10 million that they're hoping for him is necessarily
going to be
a breaker in terms of what we do after he's gone.
Yeah.
But the point is that there's still no movement since last week from the Lyon perspective.
I think it's important as well to point out that Shaqiri, a lot of people talk about a replacement for Shaqiri. I don't think that is. I think Harvey Elliott is that replacement for Shaqiri, as in the player and the, you know, the option within the squad.
Small left footed
guy who can play midfield and in the forward line. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. But I think it's more sort of, you know, how much do you lose a quality option off the bench for 25 games a season?
Yeah.
Do we need to add that? And it could be. I'm not saying this, and I please don't clip this up into some neat social video, but by the end of the season, Kay Gordon could be this guy who's on the bench for 15 games.
Yeah.
And, you know, God, he does all right the last 10 minutes in games, certain games, home game, whatever it may be. Could be. I wouldn't want to hang my hat on that at the start of the season, but he's certainly in and around the first team squad. But I think it's more the idea that, look, you know, is Origi, is Minamino, are they bankable forward options? And I think there's a big question mark at the very least about them.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the option. It's not let's go and find someone who can do exactly what Shaqiri does. If anything, it'll be someone who doesn't do what Shaqiri does. It'll be someone with pace, as in to running behind, or it'll be someone who can play very, very, you know, give great width or that kind of thing, or a target man more so. It won't be a Shaqiri player.
It's funny because you're right, because this is where it's complicated, is that Konate is effectively the Wijnaldum replacement in terms of the body, the registered body in the squad.
Yeah.
But he's not nominally in terms of the depth in those positions. And you're right, you take Shaqiri out, you're not straight swapping Shaqiri for another necessarily. They might do.
Yeah.
They might look at it and go, well, we do need, maybe they might need another person to go and play on the right hand side of the front three, who's a bit more senior, you know, who's got loads of pace. Someone like that is a bit more of a wild card. But then that, I think that's when you then go back, revisit the midfield thing of, do you need to go and get someone?
Like Wijnaldum. I suppose to point out that you're right in the sense of, I talk a lot and I do believe it, you know, the thing to replace with Wijnaldum is the amount of games he played. But in theory, and it is only a theory, you are replacing that by making sure that Henderson and Fabinho are always available to play in midfield when they're fit, rather than actually we've got them in the back line and also an injury to someone else, and now all of a sudden we need to find someone who can play 50 games in midfield. It's a bit different.
And that's true, because Fabinho played a lot of the six last season.
Yeah, he's played a lot of the six in his Liverpool career, really. I mean, you know, he certainly had spells in, I think, pretty much every season he played. You know, he had a run of games playing in that role. So, yeah.
That's the only concern for me, though, in terms of that. The only issue, I think, we've got squad depth issues, and it's like, I always use this analogy, but it's a bit like complaining about the tape deck not working in your Ferrari, is that we don't have a third choice DM.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because the first choice is Fabinho, and the second choice is Henderson.
Yeah.
And then beneath that, it might just be Milner this season, because we've seen that in pre-season.
It could be Thiago in a certain type of, I mean, it's not a, what you say, a DM, as in, like, you know, he's not a break up the play physical thing, but it could be what would you call it, a Xabi Alonso style DM, you know, that kind of regista, that kind of player who is literally just get it, give it. But then, you know, you're getting into specifics of certain games, and you know, it can change with the, I mean, Milner played there Saturday, and I know that didn't go down well with certain groups, but I thought he did okay. You know, he was involved quite strongly in the first two goals.
But I said this, you know, the title winning season, Lallana does it a couple of times in the season. None of us would have been like, I definitely want that to happen. And the idea is meant to be that you should never see that.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, James Milner should not play a game of football for Liverpool this season. Not for him.
Yeah.
No, you know what I mean? But because everyone's so fit and so well,
but
also the beauty of him is you do need to play him because he's boss and he's a good guy around the squad and he deserves the games. But there is that, if he was our fourth or fifth choice DM, if he's jumped up the pecking order to third at 35, 36 years old or whatever, that's the only time we...
Yeah. But I think what he does show, and I think repeatedly shows, and again, going back to, I'm not defending the club here. It's just, I'm defending James Milner, really. But I think he does show the way in terms of overcoming obstacles and sticky periods. And like, there was a time in that first half against Norwich where you thought, oh, Milner, you know, like, he got booked, flew in on someone, you think probably going to have to take him off after an hour. And you don't. He plays on, he sets up, you know, helps set up the first couple of goals, has a perfectly passable game in midfield, and Liverpool win 3-0, and all those sort of pre-match concerns and fears, well, Liverpool won and he played, and maybe all he needs to do in that role is actually just keep it nice and steady for an hour, and then we'll bring on the big hitters for the last half hour. And I do think there was of all the things that were really positive about Liverpool on Saturday, I actually think the biggest one was that it felt like they were just keeping Norwich where they needed them for an hour, and then they were going to go boom, and we're going to overpower you. And they did a lot of that in the 19-20 and the 18-19 season.
Solid first half.
Yeah, it was like a lot of forgettable first halves in that title-winning season. I mean, I can think of one. Norwich was one itself at Carrow Road in that season, but Southampton early in that season where they went,
there was one, I think,
and Mane scored right on half time.
I think we played Huddersfield at home one game. I remember being there half time being like, oh my god, this is dire, and then we just won, you know what I mean,
3-0. Southampton last this title winning season, I think it was 0-0 half time, they won 4-0 by the end. There was a lot of that where it just felt like they really flexed their muscles in terms of the big, you know, having a couple of real game changes off the bench. And you know, you look, I mean, Ian Doyle from the Echo wrote a piece this week about players are probably going to have to be left out of the squad against Burnley. a couple of good players gonna miss out somewhere along the line. You know, you could have a stage where one of Kanati, Gomez, Matip might have to miss out of the squad. You could Simikas could go from starting the first three games and not being even on the bench in certain games. You might have Milner not on the bench, probably not because of his versatility, but you might have Curtis Jones not making the bench, Harvey Elliott, you know, probably one of Origi and Minamino is going to miss out. So there are a lot of positives at the moment, but the caveat has to come, and I think that's where all the concern comes from, and I understand it, is what if the injuries, and there are probably just two or three too many players that it's not just a fatalistic thing,
I don't think anyone's looking at Oxlade-Chamberlain and Keita, and to be fair Henderson and Thiago, no one's going, they're all of a sudden going to be 50 game a season players, because it's not going to happen. So there is, you're right, there's an element to gamble, but it comes back to this all over again.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
What do you do about that?
Yeah.
What are you meant to do about that? Because you've got to move players on to make to change that. There can't be any more players. You could go and buy some English players. Yeah. But then again, how much is that going to cost you to do that? Yeah. Who are they? Who are the English players that you'd have for that? Okay, well, maybe this is the point about which is why Curtis Jones will get more game time because you've got Harvey him because he's young, and Harvey Elliott as well. But that's the point. If you think Keita and Oxlade-Chamberlain are not up to it, well, two things. That's a good opportunity for Jones and Elliott to actually go and usurp them. They've got a season to try and prove themselves more worthy than that. But that's what, £90 million worth of footballers there in Keita and Oxlade-Chamberlain. They're the right model for what you want your backups to be. City have got a bench full of £40 and £50 million players. That's the ideal for Liverpool. But if you're saying they're injury prone, and I agree, what the solution is, you're still going to move one of them on. And again, we say, just move one of them on. Where's the bid?
Exactly.
Where's the bid? Where the club's queuing up to take either of those players for a reasonable amount of money?
Exactly. And I keep going back to this, and we're going back to the mouthpiece at the start, but this is for Klopp, not the club. Klopp rates those players far higher than a lot of people do. Yeah. And he really does. Origi's another one, really, that Dejan Lovren used to say all the time, you show me a centre-back better than Dejan Lovren, a fourth-choice centre-back, but there isn't one. You know, I mean, maybe they have got one now. Hopefully they have got one now. Yeah. But he's of that is, how much would I have to spend to get a better player than Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain? And whether you agree with him or not, that's his way of looking at it. And same with Naby Keita.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that's absolutely spot on. Just a random superstition from Rabadam saying, I wish Ole still signed crap Norwegian players. I miss Liverpool having like exciting Norwegian players on the books. It's a very 90s thing, isn't it? Like,
Did you say Ollie? Did you say he wishes Ollie still signed? As in Solskjaer?
I guess so, yeah.
That's random. You're right, though. A Norwegian would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah. When was the last time Liverpool had one? Would it be?
It's either Leonardsen or Heggem, I guess. Maybe, unless...
Is Heggem Norwegian or Danish?
No, Heggem was Norwegian.
Was he?
He was right back.
It's a long time, though, isn't it? There's one Norwegian, I think, that everyone would like Liverpool to sign.
Yeah,
so
maybe there's one that we can have a little look at. Maybe next summer, unfortunately. Yeah. But interesting stuff. All right, let's talk Leighton Clarkson then. He's gone to Blackburn on loan. There's been a lot of like really positive noise around this. It's mad how the Elliott thing's now proven that it's a decent path. It's obviously quite local still, decent standard
very
of football.
Very local for him. I think he lives on the same village as the training ground. So
yeah, there you go. Yeah. Oh, that doesn't bode well. You can't live too close to work.
He'll always be late, yeah, definitely. He'll cut it fine every single day.
But the vibes from Liverpool seem good about this one?
Yeah, look, I think it was one thing that came out of the pre-season was that Leighton Clarkson had done really well, both in training and in the games. And I mean, he's 20, he's a nice footballer. The big thing is his size, obviously, for a midfielder. And I think that made it difficult for Liverpool to get a loan move. And that's why Blackburn does fit, because they are a team that obviously plays in the Championship and needs to have a certain level of physicality, but they don't play around that. And Elliot was, you know, able to slot into that and play a lot of games last season. I know he was out of the side, the starting lineup at the back end of the season, but he played, you know, 40 odd games last season. If he can get anywhere close to that, I think it'll do him the world of good. I think the feeling was that he's ready to play first team football, not in the Premier League, not at Liverpool, but go and play some football. Let's see what type of midfielder you're going to be. How well you overcome those size issues that you might have as a midfielder. Big Blackburn fan, I heard him talk about two guy who's probably a decent role model to have for someone in that role, you know, yeah. Not someone who's physically sort of massive and, you know, someone who used their football brain and that ability. So if he can do half or two guy did at Blackburn, I think he'll have a good go at it. But he was on the bench, unused sub, I think, Tuesday night, wasn't it? Nottingham Forest. He got a good win away from home. I don't think it'll be long before he's in the side.
It's interesting, yeah. It'll be fascinating to see, because you want your young lads to come good. But it's that eternal thing. If you're a DM and you look at how important it is for Liverpool setup, just having a big lads in the pitch, it's something that might be a struggle to overcome. But yeah, all the best to him, of course. It's a good comment. We had a lot of people asking, because I've said, to by all means, send any questions you want into Neil. And I don't want us to resort to me just saying names and you saying no.
I apologise for
but,
that, yeah.
They've got, I'll do one quickly. Dan J says, Mateus Cunha is a good versatile attacking option with potential in his opinion. Any LFC interest in him?
No idea. I'm sorry, no said idea. No. But I have no. seen him play. Yeah. Head to Berlin, obviously. He's done quite well there. I mean, they're a bit of a strange club, Hertha Berlin, and they had a lot of investments and haven't really gone anywhere with it. Remind you of anyone. but he's probably their jewel in their crown. I know he was at the Olympics, I think. So he's got a glowing reputation, but I couldn't tell you. I haven't had anything on Liverpool being in there. I haven't even seen a tenuous link, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Does 87 is not, there's been a ton of people asking this, in fact, Josh Hattar as well, asking about Jude Bellingham, and Dozer says, I have a feeling we're keeping our powder dry for Bellingham next season.
Do you know what? I hope they are.
I really hope
is the first thing to say. And I see the logic in it. It's not a strange line to draw, I don't think. I think he'll obviously, you see with Sancho, probably that is the Dortmund model, is young English player, come over, establish yourself, and then go back to England and become a player. I think Chelsea are keen on Bellingham. Mm-hmm. My colleagues reported that, Naz Kinsella has reported they fancy Bellingham, and that obviously muddies the water. But you look at a player and you think, what price would be too much for Jude Bellingham at this moment in time? We're 18 years of age. He's going to be, he can be the focal point of your midfield for 10, 15 years. Liverpool should certainly be having a good close look at that. I do suspect possibly that their priorities will be further forward than Jude Bellingham come next summer.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the thing. You never know about what Liverpool are doing, because they don't just go window to window, which we all do.
No, well, well ahead,
you know,
well
it there's often that thing of, yeah, you don't make a move because you know what you're looking to do down the line.
Yeah.
And that's a thing. It might not be, we might still need to get a body in this summer, but this is when we start to talk about Keita and Oxlade-Chamberlain, and also look the age profile of Thiago and Henderson as well down the line. You want to be, in the next 2 years, you really want to be getting your next Jordan Henderson into the
absolutely.
Squad. And we might own him already. It might be Curtis Jones, you know, at this point. But someone like that, where maybe next summer, if you've managed to get a tune out of either Keita or Ox, all of a sudden there might be an offer on the table.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, I think we've got all the juice we're going to get out of them. There's a good value there. We'll move them on, and then we'll bring in someone
I think
else.
The danger with someone like Bellingham and a club like Dortmund is... It can go like that, quickly at Dortmund, whereas I'm throwing
and maybe
name.
Too quickly for us.
Yeah, I'm throwing a name in like Ryan Gravenberch, for example, at Ajax, who's a very high gifted young midfielder. You can sort of bank where his value will be, no matter how good a season he has, unless Ajax win the Champions League with Ryan Gravenberch as the main man.
Yeah.
Pretty much, it's going to be within a certain range. Whereas Bellingham can go nuclear with Dortmund. You know, they could literally be latter stages of the Champions League. He can be winning the Bundesliga. He can go from 50 million, 70 million to double that in the course of a season. Unless he's got, you know, unless there's a release clause, which I don't think there is at this moment. I have certainly haven't heard about that. And also, they're always selling someone.
Yeah.
So you're sort of, you're at the, if they're selling Haaland next summer, then are they going to sell Bellingham as well? Do they need to? Maybe not. But yeah. I think there's no doubt that he'll play in the Premier League for one of the top four clubs in the next two seasons.
The problem is that where Liverpool are at, you've got to get in these lads before one of PSG or Chelsea or Man City snap them up and put them on money that makes them unobtainable from there on. But you're right, that's the problem, is too much too soon. I mean, you've seen this with Mbappe. I said this for years, the second he signed for PSG, he's like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
I get it. I mean, I know what you're doing because you're earning ridiculous money and playing in the Champions League, but you're limiting what you can do next. Yeah. There's a great piece, it was Rory Smith talking about this, about Messi, because of the way contracts have gone. Messi can't go to Napoli, and he can't go and do something really interesting with the life. He can't go and follow a Maradona style route where he takes a sparkling talent and goes and improves a lesser light, because you can't quarter your wages or more than that to even make yourself affordable to these other teams. And that's the issue with Bellingham. And obviously, loads of people asking about Mbappe. We'll come to that. Keep your comments coming in. I'm going to get through a few of them in a minute. But one, I just want to do a flight of fancy before we dive into people's comments. One big one. Lewandowski said he wants a new challenge. Jürgen Klopp loves Lewandowski. Can't shut up about him. Like, I've asked him unrelated questions and he's brought Lewandowski. Yeah. I was asking him about Jordan Henderson.
I don't blame him.
Played at centre half, I think, and he basically came up with DM it was. Jordan Henderson the six, and he started glowing.
Lewandowski was a number 10.
Glowing about moving Lewandowski into a number 10 and people saying he was great and blah 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 blah.
Of course, who wouldn't take Robert Lewandowski? But I saw it quite put quite well on Twitter this morning by Chris Williams. I'm sure you'll know Chris Williams, Bundesliga guy, Liverpool fan, said he's not worth 100 whatever million to any club except Bayern Munich, which I think makes perfect sense. You know, he's in his early 30s. His record is unsurpassed at Bayern. Obviously, you know, what he did last year, you know, poignant given the events of the last couple of weeks, but beating Gerd Müller's record and, you know, he's... would have won the Ballon d'Or had it not been for the pandemic last year. He's an incredible player. You know, are you shelling now £150 million on a
32 years old. In fact, he turns 33 on the 21st of August. So
he's effectively 33. Yeah. Well, that's...
Next week.
Saturday.
The same birthday.
Get him in for his birthday against Burnley.
My mum and Robert Lewandowski share a birthday.
There you go. We find out something every day. Yeah, but look, I have no question if Bayern Munich ceased to exist and Robert Lewandowski turned up with his bindle over his shoulder and said to Jürgen, you got a home for me, I think Jürgen would find something.
Yeah.
But it's not.
That's when you're cancelling Shaqiri's contract, by the way.
and a few others, I think, as well. Yeah. But he's incredible, and he's probably, you know, outside of Liverpool, he's probably Jürgen Klopp's biggest success in his career. You know, and you say he loves him. Why wouldn't he? I mean, when he looks back on his managerial career and people say, who did you manage? He says, oh, remember Robert Lewandowski? Oh, you're brilliant at Bayern. He says, yeah, but before Bayern, he was a Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah.
And it was me who got hold of him and turned him. You know, he's got that. So
if he was a free transfer, I wonder whether there's like, you know, or he was in some sort of contractual situation a la Thiago where you could do a mad, really cut-price deal. I think they'd have the conversation. But you're right, at £100 million for a 33, it's got, I mean, in modern football now, he should have done this a month ago because PSG would have had him.
The other thing is, as well, it must be pointed out, and I know this from our Bayern correspondent, Kerry Howe, that they're not going to sell him. Bayern Munich might maybe consider it next summer when he's got a year left, but they're not going to sell him, and he's not going to kick up a mega fuss to get out. He would like to, and I think it was worded on Sky something. He wants to play for another top club before he's 35, which, okay,
yeah, great.
You know, he's still got a couple of years left then, hasn't he? So I don't think he's even going to be on the move this summer. But of course, I mean, one of Klopp's great success stories, and I'm going to say I'd love to see him in the Premier League, but I'm thinking he probably won't come to Liverpool. Yeah.
I'd love to see him not in the Premier League.
I love to watch him, put it that way.
He's in the Premier League era, he's a pure Chelsea signing of aging forward.
Yeah, becomes rubbish.
Comes to the old centre forward graveyard that is Stamford Bridge. Honestly, I love this. I love rattling through the names of all that. And it goes all the way back to Vialli. Yeah. Obviously, Zola had a great time at Chelsea and what have you. But Shevchenko did
Mark
it.
Hughes.
Crespo did it. Mark Hughes did it.
Yeah.
I know Kesman was a bit young and didn't work out. But they just
Torres.
Yeah. The list goes on and on and
Higuain,
on.
Higuain.
Yeah, bring
Falcao.
Yeah, they brought Drogba back.
Eto.
Yeah, Eto.
Yeah. I tell you what, we could be here all day. Honestly, yeah. It's incredible, isn't it? You know,
formerly world-class centre-forward.
Yeah, Morata, I know he's younger, but still didn't work out for him. There's an awful lot, and, they've done it. They've gone again, haven't they, with Lukaku, really. I think he'll be the one who books the trend, personally, but I think... Let's hope at least not until the end of August.
Yeah. Defend records with 22 knocks in the super chat. John Arisa, how could we forget? Norwegian player.
That's shocking on my part. Yeah.
It's because
this is so scouse to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
And also, I'll be honest, he died a little bit for me with that performance against Chelsea in the Champions League. Yeah, yeah. Where he was just. That was a bad night all around. That night.
Yeah, John Anarisa. Yeah, it was Vegard Foran that was linked. If you remember him, he was linked with Liverpool quite heavily. He ended up going to Southampton, never really played. But I remember there was one January under Dalglish where it was, are you going to sign Vegard Foran?
Frode Kip.
Kip.
Yeah.
Tons.
Indeed. Have you got any more comments coming in? In fact, Cameron here saying, oh, because we're not talking about Sol, why not? Let's do it. But I had a rumour that basically there is agents are shopping him around anywhere at this point, trying to get a move for him.
Signed Rodrigo De Paul, haven't he? Atletico Madrid. And I think you can tell by the amount of stories that are emerging from Spain that it's happening. It's always Man United or it's Liverpool or it's, whatever. Nothing's changed as far as I'm aware. Wasn't a starter, as a rumour, Wages, huge.
Well, this is a good question on this from Rams, saying, do you think it's worth the hassle to sign him for someone for 45 million when you're paying him 220 grand a week?
No, it's not. Of course, and I've said this, that I think his wages that he was asking for, or that he would be asking for, would make him the highest paid player at Liverpool. Maybe not now, given the couple of the contract extensions, but at the time, would have made him. And how do you go into Mo Salah and Jordan Henderson and say, right, this is what you're offering you? And they say, hang on, we've got this fella from Atletico Madrid who's come in, who's, he's an armoured field rotation option, and he's on more, it upsets the balance of it. And Liverpool, we're never going to be in that dance.
If you're going to put someone on the top bracket of wages at Liverpool, they've got to be better than someone our best.
It's got to be a new marquee forward, an Alisson Becker or a Virgil van Dijk. I think it's got to be that, or literally, maybe Thiago would fit in that bracket as well. Yeah. Although I'm not convinced he's on what you would call silly money, Thiago. So I think that's where it falls down for me. And not saying he's not a good player, not saying he wouldn't make Liverpool stronger as a squad, but I don't think it's ever been on the cards.
Yeah. Captain Meets Adventures, one of our YouTube members here, say Lewandowski coming to Liverpool is a bit like Karl-Heinz Riedler coming to Liverpool. Amazing player, but a bit past his best. Yeah, let's just have it. That's exactly. He's definitely just like Karl-Heinz Riedler. Yeah, he might be a little bit better than Karl-Heinz Riedler, to be fair. Although we did come off the back of winning the European Cup.
Karl-Heinz Riedler's one. I know we're talking on a transfer show here, but I'm talking about Karl-Heinz Riedler and Frode Kip. But I just don't remember him at Liverpool. Like, sort of, I know he was there and I remember the odd moment, but I just don't remember sort of what he was like at Liverpool.
Yeah, and someone will immediately tell me and I'll go, oh, of course, but I can't think of the only thing I remember
Newcastle,
from Reed,
the only one as I remember, was they were 2-0 down at Anfield and 1-4-2, and I think he got two, but that's the only game
an incredible leap for a small guy.
He was known, wasn't
but
he?
I remember him jumping up and controlling him with his throat once and like going down and clutching his neck, and that's literally my abiding memory of Karl-Heinz Riedler and him playing in the yellow kit.
Yeah.
But that's...
Yeah, I mean, he's just one of them players that just sort of happened at Liverpool without me sort of taking it all in. I think Michael Owen was just so prominent at the time that you just watch what Michael Owen and Fowler were doing, really, rather than our lines.
FPL Skills got a couple of questions. Is the player requirements the same for the Champions League as they are for the league? I think they are... The homegrown thing's a bit more stringent.
Yeah,
in the Champions League,
it's got to be a certain amount of times at the same club.
Exactly.
Unbroken.
Whereas in the Premier League,
so I think
just...
Elliot would take up a space. I think.
Yeah,
because this is he might not actually. This might be his third year.
It's still 17 non-homegrown.
Yeah.
But how you qualify to be homegrown is you've got to have X amount of trained at your academy for a number of years.
It's unbroken at the same club, I think, rather than at an English club.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then he also said, you guys heard about Dan Juma's departure to Villarreal. Yeah, we discussed it earlier on in the stream. Have we missed out on a very talented player who can cover for the front three and fits Klopp, mold and system?
Well, I think we talked about it last week, didn't we? And I can't claim to watch. I've watched Bournemouth extensively. I watched the playoff games and I watched a couple. And I think I mentioned I spoke to Harry Redknapp about him and he was bigging him up, said he's a Premier League player, which is very, very Harry Redknapp. You can imagine how he said it out of his car door.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but he maybe they have. But I think probably what you've missed out on is a player that you could probably still get from Villarreal in 2 years if he goes on to prove himself as that. And I don't think Liverpool are going to look to the end of the season and go, if we only got Arnaud Donjuma, you know, I think it would still have been a pretty heavy punt.
Time and everything on this stuff as well, you know, and you can't, you know, sometimes things don't work out and you can be gutted and you can feel devastated about it. But again, I always go back to like the old Football Manager, Champ Manager stuff. It's worse when you know all the players you should buy and you buy them and then you realise you can only play one or two of them at a time.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you've got this stockpile of lads that you can't lose.
Yeah, I think it's also tough because we don't consider the player sometimes. So you're talking about leaving Bournemouth. I'm assuming he would have been very happy to have got promoted with Bournemouth to the Premier League and maybe had another crack at the Premier League. He's already had a season, remember. But, you know, are you going to... If you're being offered Europa League winners, Villarreal, who are obviously going to play Champions League this season, probably challenged to qualify for the Champions League through the league in La Liga, going to start for them, hopefully, I would imagine. And then you're going to say, well... Do you want to come down with Liverpool? And if we can get rid of X, Y, and Z, and if three of these players get injured, then you might get a little run of the game.
Yeah.
Sometimes that is hard to sell, as big a name as Liverpool is, and maybe the wages might be, you know, better. But some players just actually know, well, I want to go and play for a decent side or a good side rather than, you know, be a member of a squad in a great side.
Yeah, it is what it is. Hopefully we'll have a little bit more of the window clear, slowly, inexorably heading towards a close with very little extra movement from Liverpool. But yeah, if Shaqiri moves, maybe things will all sort of kick on. What we're going to be doing on Insight Extra, which will be streaming on the RedmenTV.com, we're going to talk about the Henderson and the Mohamed Salah contract situations and some more of the ins and outs on that. So if you want to get a little bit more chat on that in your life, then do go and sign up on the RedmenTV.com for that. Thank you to everyone who sent the comments in. Been good fun. I've actually quite enjoyed it, despite the fact there's been very little to ask.
We've made the most of that. We've done well.
I think we've done well. We've carried on our charisma alone there, I think, which is good for us as much as anything else. We've also got a phenomenal competition. If you want to sign up to the RedmenTV.com, there's two tiers. There's Club Captain and there's Club Legend. And if you join as a Club Legend, then you get a whole host of extra bonus features and all that kind of stuff. But you also get entered into an amazing prize draw competition for a limited edition Jordan Henderson 10 years red box, which I gave to, I want to Neil because he's an influencer and he can attest that it's really good.
Should have worn the t-shirt today, shouldn't I?
No.
I forgot to.
That's the trick. See, this is why you're not a fully fledged
influencer.
Yeah,
I'll learn.
Get back on the Insta. Anyway, the details will follow now and we'll be back with more next week. Ta-da.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.